So this is what Proverbs says on conflict, starting at chapter 6, verse 19. A false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Whoever loves a quarrel loves sin. Whoever builds a high gate invites destruction. The lips of fools bring them strife. Their mouths invite a beating. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is one's glory to overlook an offense. It is one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. Do not say, I will do to them as they have done to me. I will pay them back for what they did. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is the one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. Again, let's pray before we look at this subject, this difficult, challenging subject. Let's pray now. Lord, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, we do pray that you'll challenge our hearts now. Lord, none of us live and perhaps disagree with one each other as we should. It says in your word, in your anger, do not sin. But Lord, many of us do sin. And Lord, we need your word to rebuke us this morning. We need your word to challenge us and change us through your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, you know the challenge and the rebuke this has been to me looking at this topic this week. And Lord, we just pray that during this time now, if we feel convicted, if we feel as though this is speaking to me, Lord, we pray that it wouldn't end there, but you would transform us. Lord, in our arguing, we should not want to be like others. We should want to be like Christ. So Lord, change us this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So Proverbs, wisdom on conflict. Again, God willing, this wouldn't be my wisdom, but God's wisdom from his word. And as we look at conflict now, I'm sure all of us like to have a laugh. We all like to have a joke. But when was the last time you saw a joke made by yourself or someone else? When was the last time you saw that go wrong? That it crossed the line? It can easily happen, can't it? One minute there's joking and laughing, the next minute that joke's crossed the line. Have you ever had a disagreement? Not because of what was said, but because of how it was said. Sometimes it's just a single word can stir conflicts. And when we think of conflicts, we're most likely not going to think of perhaps war zones, the conflict in Iraq, conflict in Afghanistan or wherever. We're going to think of conflict in our own personal lives, the arguments we've had, the disagreements with other people, the words used to hurt us, or the words we've used to hurt other people. And even now, there's those conflicts that come to mind now, and even them, they've left scars. Scars that still hurt you today. And actually, we have painful memories of thoughtless words that have just cut us like knives. We may have had relationships that have just completely broken down because of conflict, a disagreement, or just a plain refusal to forgive. And maybe it's been years since you've last spoken to that person who we had a conflict with, that person who used to be a friend, that person that used to be a colleague, or maybe it's even a family member. And maybe when we think about conflicts, perhaps you don't even right now think about a conflict that you've even had. Maybe you think about a conflict that others have had, and the impact, therefore, on you has been devastating. The conflict during a divorce can have huge impact on the children. Maybe that's your story. And of course, one of the most painful things for Christians to see is that conflicts aren't just out there. Conflicts aren't just in our homes. Conflicts can creep into the church, can split it or just destroy it. I mean, when was the last time you saw a community divided because of the conflicts between individuals? And sadly, it happens far too often, and it can be such a terrible witness for those looking on. And the Bible has a lot to say about conflicts. If we care about our unity as a church this morning, if we love one another, we should take a great note of how to deal with conflicts and what Proverbs says about it. Because God cherishes our unity more than you know. It says in Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Verse 3 of that psalm actually says that our unity is like the dew of heaven. If unity is a place where it's gentle, nourishing, and a refreshing place to be, then quarreling, conflict, strife's the opposite, isn't it? And God despises the one who creates such division among brothers and sisters. And Proverbs' teaching on conflicts is not just for churches, it's for our own personal relationships as well. So throughout this time, what we're being told here, we're never just told to kind of not speak up. We're not just told to be quiet and never defend ourselves, not to speak up. But we do need wisdom. We were singing about wisdom earlier. We do need wisdom to know when to speak. We do need wisdom on how to speak and the self-control to do that right. That's what we're looking at this morning. That's what Proverbs teaches us. And we're going to look at 3 points to structure our study. You can probably see that on the sheets. The first point's the longest by far, I'm afraid, but also I'm afraid it's probably the most negative point out of the three as well. So the first point is the troublemaker. The troublemaker. And there's subtle things sometimes that can cause conflicts, but also we know there are some people who just seem to love to argue. They always seem to be in some kind of disagreement. Some people just seem to love debating. Proverbs 20 to 21. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. These verses are saying that a community can never have peace when there is this quarrelsome, troublesome person present. Some people we meet are just argumentative. They cannot distinguish between central truths worth contending for and some secondary, non-essential issues. They cannot see that some things are worth standing up for and fighting for, and some things are just worth letting go. And some are just argumentative because their pride makes it hard for them to admit when they're in the wrong. It seems as though a simple, "I'm sorry," is beyond some people. And many times conflict starts because there's a word, just a single word, a joke, an insult that seems to have just crossed the line. There are many films and books, perhaps, that we can think of where they have the character of the mocker. They always seem to be making fun of people, always seem to be insulting people. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19 says, "Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is the one who deceives their neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" A maniac there in this verse is someone who's not careful with their words. They're throwing around insults, they're throwing around jokes and mocks everywhere, and it's like someone throwing these flaming arrows, not seeing the power and the awful consequences of their words. And then after all the devastation, after all the hurts, they say, "Oh, chill out, it was only a joke." But it's too late. The hurt's been done, and it can be devastating. And so what Proverbs tells us is the wise person decides quickly, in a sense, whether to say a joke and stay silent if there is any danger of hurting someone. Humour can be difficult. Humour is different from culture to culture, and what's acceptable in one time and one place or situation can cause hurt or anger in another situation. In general, perhaps it's often wiser to make yourself the object of humour rather than someone else. And we need to take special care with our humour. If you're the sort of person who always seems to mock, always insults, look, we know that type of person these days, don't we? The person who always likes to banter. Then you will always be undermining relationships. A community that cares about the nurture of loving relationships should ask that person who always insults, who always mocks, they should ask that person to change or to leave. Proverbs 22:10, drive out the mocker and out goes strife, quarrels and insults are ended. In that sense, if you're that person that's kind of been described so far, always says those kind of edgy jokes, always kind of argumentative, sorry is beyond you, there are consequences. We've looked perhaps what causes conflict. We now see some consequences to conflict. And here's some consequences here. Proverbs 18:6, the lips of fools bring them strife, their mouths invite a beating. As a result of your words, there may well be fisticuffs. Proverbs, and I'm not suggesting this is a good way to sort out your arguments, but it is just being realistic. Proverbs is basically saying, don't be surprised if by your foolish words you end up getting lamped in the face. Another consequence is that when there's two people having a conflict with each other, it can have huge effect on those around them. And perhaps it's particularly strong in schools, in the workplace, a college or wherever, and when there's two people having a conflict and it affects those around them, there's a strong temptation to take sides. It's hard not to be sympathetic with the party you know best. It's quite common that we do that. But Proverbs tells us not to. Proverbs 26:17, like the one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. I mean, a stray dog's not taught or trained to behave, is it? I remember when I was in Thailand and the team I was working with were leading this children's group. The children have gone to bed and there were some other leaders there, but a mate and myself, we went for a walk. We didn't know where we thought we'd just look around. And we went through a few fields with a footpath going through. And before we know it, we stepped into this area where there was loads of very angry stray dogs. It was a good job we had our rabies jab just beforehand. But suddenly we knew, we suddenly stepped foot in a territory that we shouldn't have. To be honest, it was really scary. But the last thing I ever wanted to do in that situation was grab one of these pooches by the ears. I mean, grabbing an animal like that is just asking to be bitten. And that's what it's like when you rush into a conflict, get angry over something that is just not your concern. Basically, what this is saying, mind your own business, otherwise you'll get bitten. That's the moral of the story. A wise person should walk away from a dispute that we have no interest in or that the disagreement is not our own. Another consequence, Proverbs 16:28. A perverse person stirs up conflicts and gossip separates close friends. And this is really sad, isn't it? The troublemaker continues here. This person, in that sense, seems to just go out their way to take offense at anything that is said and just seems to twist it a little bit. The troublemakers are gossip as well. It's a picture of speaking behind someone's back. Did you hear that about so-and-so? Did you hear this? A gossip has the power to separate close friends. And the word close friends there elsewhere in Proverbs, it's used to describe marriage partners. It's that degree of closeness and intimacy. And it's saying that slander and gossip has the power to separate even that intimacy and closeness, which is heartbreaking. One more consequence, Proverbs 6:19. A false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. We've looked at a bit of this already. God cherishes our unity. It's a place where love and growth and safety is meant to be. Yet conflict caused by false witness, lies and gossip, that creates the opposite. It creates hatred, division, and separation. And this can be heartbreaking too, can't it, when we see a flourishing church just torn in two because of a conflict. And we must praise God for our love and our unity here But we must not take it for granted. We must value it. We must pray for it. We must fight for it. So in short, conflict caused by gossip, lies, insults, mocking, it has devastating consequences. Proverbs 17:14 says it's like starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before dispute breaks out. We've got a few dams around here. You can perhaps go for walks and visit these dams for the day. And if a dam breaks when you're kind of visiting, we better be ready for chaos. And if you're entering an argument, be prepared for what happens next, it's saying. A flood can start just by a tiny, small leak in a dam. And a wise person would seek to repair the damage before, while it's still small, because soon there's going to be a raging flood. And so it is with conflicts. A lot of our conflicts start off as small misunderstandings, small accusations, but it can quickly break out into an argument. And in that flood, there are relationship breakdowns, friendships ruined, churches split, and broken homes. It doesn't have to be this way. What we've looked at so far are the things that cause conflict and the consequences of it, but there is something we can do about it, and that's the advice that Proverbs gives us. We've seen in this point the troublemakers, and you can see on your sheet, point two, the peacemaker. And when we turn to the Gospels, we see Jesus say in the Beatitudes in Matthew, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We had Romans 12 read earlier. They're such great verses. Can I just suggest and encourage you to read Romans 12, 9 to 21 regularly as we meet with God's people? Sometimes meeting with God's people, sometimes you might find it difficult, but Romans 12 reminds us that we should be hating evil. Love what's good. Love one another. Be joyful. Be prayerful. Speak to the vulnerable. Don't retaliate. And it says in Romans 12, verse 18, it says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." I mean, what a huge responsibility that is. You should live as if the whole unity of the church depended on you. You should live as if the whole unity of the church was on your shoulders. And if every single one of us acted like that, then by God's grace, our unity in the church should be maintained. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It sounds great. It sounds difficult. So how do we do it? And that's where Proverbs comes in, because it gives us really practical advice here. And there's two Proverbs, Proverbs 15:18 and Proverbs 15:1. "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflicts, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And again, it's important to note here that Proverbs doesn't encourage us just to stay silent or just to stay quiet. We often think, "I'm a Christian, I shouldn't say anything." Sometimes that's the wise thing to do. But here to speak is encouraged, but it's about how we speak that's important. I know of times, many times, I've just made things worse. Not perhaps because of what I've said, but because of how I've said it. I've raised the volume rather than just speaking patiently and gently. There's a way we can speak that just takes the heat out of the situation. And we need to pray that we answer our opponents, those we're arguing with, we need to answer them wisely and brilliantly, but also patiently and gently. Sometimes in our pride, we want to answer back those who have wronged us or insulted us. We want to answer back with wittiness. Often the wittiness comes after we think back, "Oh, I should have said that." But we want to answer back with wittiness. We want to answer back with the same disdain and disrespect they've shown us. But we should not want to be like them. We should want to be like Christ. And we need to pray that God challenges us, that God changes our heart to make us like that. And to be honest, if anyone had the right to jeer, if anyone had the right to mock, it was Jesus. And he didn't do it, did he? And our pride needs to be put to death to make us more like Jesus. Remember, the insults and the curses that we deserve have fallen on Jesus. Romans 15, verse 3 says, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." It's a great verse. And Proverbs 25:15. Through patience a ruler can be persuaded, a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Again, we see the similar theme about speaking patiently and gently, but there's a powerful image here, isn't there? A gentle tongue can break a bone. Again, we often think retaliation, we often think revenge or an argument or conflict will bring about better results. We want to answer in the same tone that they've been speaking to us. However, that's not what we see here. That's not what Scripture says. The Bible says a gentle, self-controlled answer will bring about better results. A gentle tongue can break a bone. It's an incredible picture. Despite appearances, a gentle word will have far more powerful results than a hot-headed response or aggressive words. We often think responding with gentleness, we often think, oh, that's just going to be viewed as weak and pathetic, isn't it? We want to give that same aggressive response, but we need to let go of that pride and see that a gentle response is actually strength under control. In our conflicts, in our quarreling, stay calm, stay the course, despite appearances, a gentle response is far more likely to win the day. Again, this doesn't mean we don't speak. Sometimes Jesus was silent, but when he did respond, he always spoke the truth, but he always bathed it in love. And we should want to be made more in Jesus' image, which means being gentle and also completely insistent on the truth as well. The last proverb on this point, Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Now, when there has been a conflict, a disagreement, an argument, in that sense, we face two choices at that point. You either have a choice to sow hatred or love. And the New Testament is clear on the power that love has to cover wrongs, that love has to cover sins. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. The well-known chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, and it goes on. A lot of time, people take that for their wedding verses, but it's not talking about marriage. It's a great thing for marriage partners, but it's a letter written to a church. Paul is telling the church to act in love. And if we're thinking, okay, I need to show love to this person instead of hatred in this situation, what does love look like? Again, the Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 13, those verses tell us that love is patient, love is kindness, it's slow to anger. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. How often do we do that? A love does not insist on its own way. How often do we do that? And if we swallow our pride and we let go of our right to get even, love covers over all wrongs. One commentary kind of put it like this, that it's got the imagery that of the argument is like this fire and it's raging, and love is like this fire blanket that's just put over the flame. Rather than calling down judgment on the one that has wronged us, that actually we're told to personally absorb the wrong, take it ourselves, and show love instead. Why should we do that? It's because that's what Jesus has done with us, isn't it? Isaiah 53 says, he took up our pain, he bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. He absorbed, he took the wrongdoings we've done. And this shows us how we are to become peacemakers. I'm aware that this morning that actually there may be conflicts even going on right now with you. Or we've had a conflict recently and we're struggling to deal with those devastating consequences. Maybe even after years, you're still experiencing the pain of broken relationships. And so with that, we go to our final point. It leads us to forgiveness. What do we do when relationships break down? When arguments break out and that fire of anger seems to be getting hotter, it seems to be getting harder to control. Well, the scripture is clear that actually one of the first things we need to do is forgive. The ability to cover wrong with love, to forgive, this doesn't come naturally to us. That ability to be slow to anger, to have it under control, is actually a reflection of God's own nature and character. And many times throughout the Old Testament, we're repeatedly told that God is slow to anger, abounding in love. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is one's glory to overlook an offense." And the word there, one's glory to overlook an offense, it's kind of used as a piece of beautiful jewelry that you put on yourself, that you adorn yourself with. And it's saying retaliation, revenge, that's not a piece of jewelry that you want to wear. It's ugly. People will stay away. But being patient, kind, slow to anger, forgiving, that is an attractive thing to wear, to adorn yourself with. That's something that people do want to see. That is something that is beautiful. But this piece of jewelry only comes by putting on Christ. It comes when we turn to Christ, being transformed into Christ. And again, often all we want to do is just to say, I want to do to them what they've done to me. And why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? Everything inside us wants to pay them back. And society in these days, I guess, would encourage revenge to some degree. And why not? Well, Proverbs tells us not to. God's word tells us not to. Proverbs 24:29. Do not say, I will do to them as they've done to me. I will pay them back for what they did. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we pay them back for what they've done? Because Proverbs in the Bible is clear that the desire for revenge always backfires. That if someone wrongs you and hurts you, perhaps you just start by hoping to a certain degree that person will be a bit unhappy. But that can move on to saying things, that can move on to doing things to hurt them, and maybe those around them. And what's happening in this situation? Well, the evil that has been done to you has got inside you and is shaping you and what you do. But this forgiveness, it's a commitment not to do that, but rather bear the cost yourself. By refusing to hurt the person directly, we need to be aware of subtle ways that we can try and pay back. Don't drag up the past of that person over and over. Don't be more demanding and controlling of that person than you are on others because you still feel like they owe you one. Don't avoid, don't be cold to them. Refuse to cut that person down in front of others. Refuse to gossip or slander them. And finally, and perhaps a difficult one, is don't replay the memories of what has been done to you in order to keep that sense of loss, in order to keep that sense of hurt fresh to you. Bearing the cost of sin yourself, bearing the cost of wrongdoing yourself, although unbelievably difficult, bearing the cost yourself is walking the same path as our Saviour did. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. To forgive is to refuse to hold people liable for what they've done to us, not to seek revenge, not to pay back. That's not our job, that's God's job. And if Jesus died to forgive you your infinite great debt to him, how can you not forgive the wrongdoer of their finite debt to you? Often we fail to forgive as we've been forgiven. And maybe this morning as we go to the prayer time in a couple of minutes, maybe you need to ask for forgiveness for not forgiving. And I'm not going to stand up here and just tell you how easy it is to forgive what's been done to you. I can't do that. And if you're still angry, if you're still struggling to forgive, there is kind of only one remedy for that. Our anger needs to fade. Our anger needs to break down as we look at the cross and our dying Saviour. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We're going to sing now the mystery of the cross. I cannot comprehend. It talks about God washing away our sin. And it says in that actually that we were enemies with God. We were at conflict with God. But there's that great line that says, once your enemy, now seated at your table. And it says, Jesus, thank you. I think we need to start there this morning, don't you? Saying thank you for Jesus, that he has got rid of that hostility. And once we've dealt with that, we need to deal with others.